Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc.
Sail away into the beginning of a new day and start anew on the courage of a rising tide. Look beyond the house of sand into the world we designed before there's just no more time.
Tomorrow night at 8, film composer and singer-songwriter Peter Sillette and illustrator Michael Arthur will be at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts to perform Sweet for the Summer Rain and Dance of the Yellow Leaf. Two related song cycles that will be accentuated and elevated through a collaboration of the artists that melds the live music performance with live illustration projected behind the band. Here to tell us more, Peter Sillette and Michael Arthur. Welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you
so much.
Nice to be here.
Peter, we'll start with you. Tell me about the music that makes up Sweet for the Summer Rain and Dance of the Yellow Leaf.
They're separate pieces, but they are certainly connected. I was up in Wyoming and fiddling around with my guitar, I tried a different tuning that I had never tried before. I'd lowered the low E string to a low C, just noodling around as one does. And all of a sudden, I kind of came upon, after many years, a new way of playing guitar. And it seemed to kind of merge with some emotional things that were happening in my life. So from there, I went on this journey of making music in this different tuning, and I had also been working on a dance piece with a great choreographer here in New York named Vanessa Walters, and she had asked me to include some rain sounds in something I was making for her, and I thought to myself, wouldn't it be interesting if I did a similar thing with my singer-songwriter songs? What ended up happening is, because all of these songs were in this different tuning, and I kind of strung them together using these ocean and wind sounds. That's mostly from the suite. What I really wanted to do was create music that was non-metronomic. I wanted to make something, you know, we live in a world right now where it's all about beat and rhythm, and I wanted to make something where it felt more natural. And so I played and sang first in the recorded process, and then I sent those songs to my friend Chris Carmichael, who's an incredible string arranger and performer, and he laid on these gorgeous strings. And then we kind of brought it back into New York and added fun things like timpani and harp and bowed bass and orchestral bells. Maybe because I've been involved in movies or theater, I had this idea to create these longer form pieces where it's a journey from beginning to end, although it's not a narrative in the sense of kind of what you'd expect from a musical or something like that. The words behave in a way that's almost more like a collage, and so you get words that are repeated but in different contexts throughout the piece, and themes that are repeated.
In a tiny motel where time began, from a winter so bright to evening sands, and the stars start to shine far away. A light escapes the world.
It's almost like creating something that's a state of mind, as opposed to, here's an individual song, now let's clap. Here's another individual song, now let's clap. It's trying to create an elongated piece that allows people to really enter into another zone. Yeah, listening.
So the name again is Suite for the Summer Rain, Dance of the Yellow Leaf, which sounds like fall or autumn, which we're entering now, or in the height of now. Are you going to conquer the other seasons?
You know, it took me a while after finishing Suite for the Summer Rain to figure out what the... It sounds obvious now. It's like, okay, well, you did Suite for the Summer Rain. Wouldn't the fall be next? And of course, it is pretty obvious. It wasn't obvious to me for a while what the next portion of this show was going to be. So I imagine that I will try to tackle winter in some way. But Dance of the Yellow Leaf is still a work that's progressing. So I'm not finished with it yet. I'll play the most complete version of it up at Mass Mocha. We will play it together. When I'm finished with the Dance of the Yellow Leaf, then maybe I'll think about what comes next.
Before we discuss specifically how you two met up and how your work goes together in this performance, I'd like to ask you, Michael, how you began what I think is a fairly unique thing, live illustrating concert performances. Where did this come from?
I don't have any art training. I was trained originally as an actor, and then I went on, got a PhD in theater history. But I've been in performance all my life. But I also always doodled all my life. It was something that I would do sitting in a corner during a turbulent childhood. Drawing was always something I could sit down and do. And I think the thing that happened to me is that this interest in improvisational acting intersected with my desire to draw in ink. And I began to see this parallel between, you know, if I started something on a piece of paper, I would have to finish it and turn it into something interesting. I would never give up on a drawing, and I would always make sure they were finished. So that had a real parallel to acting to me. In the meantime, I don't think I was the greatest of actors, and I was all right. But what I was always good at was doing something once and sort of moving on. And there's a lot of yada, yada, yada of my life for a while. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in grad school and finishing up, I rediscovered the joy that drawing brought to me, and especially that sense of making something out of nothing and the pleasure that brought to myself and to people around me. That happened the final few years of grad school. My mom passed away, and my stepfather and my grandparents and a great aunt and one of my teachers, and this was all sort of in a 3-year period of loss that I rediscovered this joy of drawing. And I brought that with me when I moved to New York, and I sort of stumbled into drawing rehearsals of performance. And it was with a dance company. This woman, Jacqueline Buglisi, who has a company, Buglisi Foreman, had this idea of me drawing. She would watch me draw in the studio, and she had this idea of me drawing behind a piece that she was creating. So we did that at the Joyce Theater. And about the same time I had begun drawing performers at Joe's Pub, they had invited me in to just chronicle the performances on stage. I sort of threw out this idea about what if we did a series where I drew and we projected it with bands. And they said, okay, well, who would you like to do that with? And the first band I thought of was these friends of mine who have a band called Balthrop, Alabama. So they ended up performing, and I ended up drawing with them. And then I just joined the band.
Right.
We traveled around the country for a couple of years and did a few albums. And in the meantime, I sort of lost the idea of doing a series at the pub for a while, because I took being in the band, and they took me in as a real band member.
Mm-hmm.
I took that as an opportunity to practice. And, you know, along the way, people invited me to do other things. The Indianapolis Symphony brought me down to do a performance with them, and other people at Joe's Pub would say, hey, would you draw behind me? And so it just... It became this idea of improv performance, sort of being in front of people and making something out of nothing, just naturally fit in with the stage. It's also sort of an old tradition of vaudeville to have great cartoonists drawing live. Back in the teens, the guy who did Snuffy Smith and Little Nemo, they had huge audiences touring on vaudeville because everyone knew the comics and they wanted to see the comics creators. And so there was this history in our culture that we've forgotten about because animation, like Disney cartoons and things like that, grew out of that. One of these guys had the idea to film his drawings. And I've always been aware of that tradition because I've always been a comic nerd, and my interest in comics goes back to the late 19th century and especially the early 20th century when there were so many great cartoonists. So I always liked that fact that these guys also were performers. It began as a side gig for them but became quite a big thing. So I guess that's like three different strains, but that's what brought me to it. I joined a band. I liked drawing in the moment, and people seemed to like it and invited me to do it enough that it became a fraction of a career.
How did you two meet and decide to collaborate on this?
You know what? Honestly, I don't remember the first time we met, and I don't think Peter does either, but the first time I saw Peter perform was at Joe's Pub, and I had known his brother, Steve, who owned the place where my band had its recording studio, where we recorded our album in our practice space. Steve has this really great ability to bring wonderful people together and to offer them a home and a shelter and a place to be creative. And so I'd heard about Peter, and then I saw him perform, and I knew something of the work he'd done and admired it. And I think Steve suggested that we do a video project together.
He suggested something, I remember. And I remember running into you on the street somewhere.
Right.
And then I had a totally different type of project that I had brought with me back from L.A. Basically, I lived in New York for 25 years, but there were about 5 years where I was in L.A. And I'd come back from L.A. and had this band called This Is The Now, which was really just me, with some great musicians. And I had the idea to create this kind of animated character for myself. They were kind of political songs and, again, kind of diametrically opposed to what this work is. And somehow Michael and I decided to try and work together on these videos.
I remember sitting down with Peter, and I don't like to make animated videos because they take way too long for me to do. And so I was determined to not do it. But we instantly had this rapport, and I began seeing a way to do it that would be interesting and wouldn't take so long. Ha. I think early on we discovered we just had a good creative energy together. And ever since then, we have frequently gotten together and just sat and mulled over ideas. We tried to write a children's book last year. We've just kept talking about projects that we could do together. And in order to make them possible, we kept spending time with each other and just making time every month or two to hang out and just not worry about something and come up with something. And it was on one of these times that I went down into his studio. I think we were working on a children's book, and he said, "Hey, listen to this." And he had this big leather chair in his studio, and he started playing Suite for the Summer Rain. And I just remember leaning back and saying, "Can just play the whole thing? I just want to hear the whole thing." And we sat, and I just let it. You know, it's just so rare to sit back and just listen to something musically for 35 minutes or 30 minutes. I used to love listening to records all the way through, and so I was struck by this beautiful chunk of experience and music, and we talked about a way to collaborate on this about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
It began to get a little complicated, and nothing came of that part of the collaboration then. And Peter then began performing it around, and I went to some of the performances, and they were just so beautiful, where people would come together and sit and just listen. It was wonderful. And then last winter, we were sitting together, and I was thinking about doing a show, and I mentioned it to him, and he pulled out his guitar and played me a couple of these new songs he'd written, which were part of Yellow Leaf at the time. And I said, "Well, why don't we premiere this piece And you can play Summer Suite for the Summer Rain, and we'll do the Yellow Leaf, and I'll draw, and that's sort of how it happened. It's all been very effortless and magic, really.
Yeah, I think I started to play those songs, and you mentioned that show, and it was good. You know, deadlines in this kind of work can be very good to really have the impetus to keep going. And we played at the Greenwich House School of Music, and the series was called Uncharted. And so it was about new collaborations and work that was in process. And so having that show, you know, I think was great for both of us.
Yeah, it really was a nice opportunity to just go in not really knowing what was going to happen. And it just ended up being a magic night, one of the great nights of doing this since I've started.
Suite for the Summer Rain, Dance of the Yellow Leaf will be performed up in the Club B10 at Mass Mocha tomorrow at 8 p.m. massmocha.org for more information. Gentlemen, I'm looking forward to the performance so much. I can't wait to see it and hear it and see you there. And I thank you very much for your time this morning.
Well, thanks.
Thanks very much, Sarah.
What if the ringing of the bells sang out a melody? There was no ticking of the clock. To be just was to be. What if as the petals fall, they're naturally reborn? The flower's colors never darkened in anybody's door. And the bitter taste that lingers could be sweetened forevermore. Oh, why? Oh,
once again, musician Peter Sillette and illustrator Michael Arthur and an excellent band will be in Club B10 at Mass Mocha tomorrow night at 8 p.m. to present Suite for the Summer Rain and Dance of the Yellow Leaf, music with live illustration. To learn more, visit massmocha.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.